This is IA Forward, your playbook for success as an independent insurance agent. Here to help you knock it out of the ballpark are your hosts, Shane Tatum and Tanya Lead.
Welcome to IA Forward. Shane, on our last podcast, you mentioned the letters ACV. And of course, I had to Google this rather quickly to be able to go along with our conversation and sound semi-intelligent. And then I got sucked into the wormhole of the Google on ACV versus RCV. So let's talk about that today.
I hate it when I use acronyms or initials because I get on to people for speaking insurance instead of English or plain language or whatever your first language is, but we try to make insurance a language in and of itself. So shame on me, shame on us.
It is a language in and of itself. You don't have to make it that way. It is.
It's right there with Greek.
It's more Swahili for me, but whichever.
I will say this. I normally leave the V off of RCV, and it's normally just RC or replacement cost. And what's really funny when you said that, we say ACV a lot, which is, for those that don't know, actual cash value, okay? We do say ACV a lot in our industry, but we rarely say RCV. We just say replacement cost. For some reason, we haven't aligned the initials or acronym for replacement cost in the same manner that we have actual cash value. And I don't know if it's just more of a tongue twister to get actual cash value out of your mouth. And so we go with the shortened ACV all the time. But I will be honest with you, until you gave me the ACV versus RCV Google results, I don't know that I've ever actually used RCV when talking about replacement cost.
From past conversations with you, you have very strong opinions on this.
Yes, I do. Let me explain maybe some of my why on this. The time has come and the market is telling us that something needs to give in certain areas. There is an incredible capacity problem in the insurance market, specifically around property today. And a lot of this capacity problem centers around catastrophe, major weather events, and this increased development and population boom along our coastal regions. I happen to be from the great state of Texas. I happen to have grown up here, been in the industry here, and one of the biggest problems for Texas, even though the Gulf Coast, like our best friends over there in Louisiana, has wind and hurricane threats. Our biggest problem is hail and rooftops. And hail is our big bad thing. Wind is a problem, sure. Ice storms occasionally, sure. But hail has been the mainstay for decades. What we have going on, we have this thing that's a part of our property called a roof. And the roof is made of materials that are decreasing in value, much like your car. Once you put a roof on and it's out in the weather and the sun hits it and the rain hits it, the wear and tear is happening. We have for years been insuring roof on a replacement cost basis because that's what we insure homes with and buildings with, because what happens to the value of property over time? Most of your site-built properties. We're not talking manufactured, mobile. We're talking site-built properties. They naturally increase, appreciate in value over time. However, they have this one component, the rooftop, that does not. Yet we keep writing insurance on roofs on a replacement cost value, and then we get mad that we're constantly replacing roofs in places like Dallas-Fort Worth, where there happens to be annual hailstorms that come through. We've started seeing some roof scheduling. We've started seeing this depreciation concept. But for me, it's really a struggle if we're having profitability problems and we're having catastrophe problems and we're having exposure and capacity problems, and we have this one thing that can make a significant change in availability, which leads to affordability. But first, you have to be profitable. And the only way that I can really see regaining profitability in property is to move down this path where we move to an ACV on the roof.
From a neighborhood perspective, I always see roofs being replaced as this weird epidemic. Our neighbors across the street had their roof replaced 3 or 4 weeks ago. And since they've gotten their roof replaced, then the neighbors to the left of them have gotten their roof replaced. The neighbors catty corner across the street are getting their roof replaced this week. Why is this happening? Because a roofer came in within 1 year after a major storm and went around the neighborhood talking about, hey, you have 1 year to file this claim. Your 1 year is up. Did you know you can get a free roof? And do y'all have these new roof epidemics in neighborhoods in Texas the way we have them in Florida?
Yes, we have some not so ethical roofers that are making it bad for the ethical, honest roofers. I'm talking about the few, the minority that are causing this problem, that are having these neighborhood solicitation processes going on and putting these people out on the street to solicit this. They're not educating the potential customers they're after. They're after free money. But here's the problem. What they're not telling the customer is it's not free money. I've been through 3 hurricanes, multiple hailstorms, and I still don't have a leaky roof in East Texas. And because my roof's not leaking, and because I'm an insurance agent, I have not allowed an insurance company to replace my roof. Now my roof has reached its very close to end of life, and I'm going to have to pay myself to replace my roof. A natural maintenance thing that every homeowner is going to have to do. I'm going to compare this to an E&O claim because I had an agent friend that had an E&O claim several years ago, and they had never had an E&O claim, and it was terrifying to them, and I understand why it was terrifying to them. And it was a couple $100,000 E&O claim, and it got handled by their E&O company. The E&O company non-renewed them. Their premium went from $8,000 the first year to $15,000. In the second year, it went to $20,000. It hovers around $25,000 now, starting into year 5 from the claim. So for the last 5 years, because of the E&O's claim, because of the situation, you add it all up, and this agent is out of pocket roughly $100,000 increase in E&O once you add all that up. What the roofing contractor, what the neighbor that says, I'm getting a free roof, you should get one too, is not being explained to and educated on is just what that's going to cost over the next several years, because there's going to be a capacity problem. And no, you're probably not going to pay increased premiums at the same amount equal to the replacement of your roof, but it's going to be something. You're going to get close. That's part of this missing thing. We've got all kinds of borderline frivolous claims being filed, and the insurance companies are stuck because of contract language and because of coverage requirements, and we can get out of this. We can fix this problem, and that's where my passion really lies and my frustration really lies, is that we can fix this problem.
Shane, you run an insurance agency empire. Of course, you can afford to replace your roof when you need to. How does this idea affect normal people that maybe don't have the money in the bank to replace their roof when disaster strikes?
Empire. I like that.
Does that make you an emperor?
I don't know. That definitely does not make me an emperor. And yes, I can afford to save and allocate some money over time and create a roof fund. I also like to call it in my EveryDollar app, home maintenance. We went through this in health insurance several years ago and still have it to some degree, where we allowed major medical insurance to turn into maintenance insurance. I do agree and understand that there is this thing about how is the non-emperors going to manage this process? Are they buying the home? Could they afford to buy the home? Are they able to afford the insurance policy? Are they going to be able to afford this insurance policy on replacement cost at the capacity level and where it's going? My argument is that the affordability factor comes down. The difference in that cost between replacement cost and actual cash value should meet somewhere in the middle that allows people to have money to put aside. If you can afford to buy a home, my argument is you can afford to maintain that home. Otherwise, you can't afford to buy a home. in the first place. And I understand why you're bringing that question to me, but I also understand that it is a gotcha question that the market wants to ask. And it is this area where, wait a minute, if they can afford to buy the home, they can afford to save over a 20-year period to replace their roof. And hey, if they do have a storm 4 years in, guess what? The depreciation isn't any different than the vehicle. So what about the auto insurance argument? Why don't we write replacement cost on four-year-old vehicles? Doesn't make sense. We have loans, but the loans are paid down. Mortgages are there, but the mortgages are being paid down. This is not an answer to affordability. To me, the industry can't afford to sustain itself by continuing to do this. And people who can afford a home can afford to save to pay the gap difference in the depreciation of their roof. It's just not that difficult of math. Did I sound like Dave Ramsey there?
No? You did sound like Dave Ramsey there just a little bit. And my response to that is what people should do and what people are going to do different things. And most people in the real world, when they start to save for things like that, going back to the Dave Ramsey thing, when you start to save, something's gonna happen. That's why you have the Dave Ramsey Emergency Fund. That's why if you use every dollar, it's right there at the top underneath where you put your income is how much have you saved in your emergency fund. And emergencies do happen. And whether it's a real emergency or a I've got to do this for my kids kind of thing, realistically, most people just don't have the, whether it's mental capacity or desire.
Discipline.
Discipline. There we go. There, the word of the year, discipline. Shane's going to take us out back and make us pick our own switch. So we don't have the discipline for the most part, as consumers, as homeowners, to have that kind of money in the bank for maintenance. It is what it is. And here in Florida, we had a huge change last year because Florida homeowners had this protection in place. And this is one of those places where the insurance lobby came in and did something really good to help agents and to help the future of the industry here. We had a law in place that if 20% of the roof was damaged, they had to replace the entire roof. Yeah. And that was changed last year. Now you can actually fix the part of the roof that was damaged, but the rest of it does not have to be replaced. We know why this was done. This makes sense. This makes sense for the future of the industry in Florida, but a lot of politicians took heat for this. But ultimately, insurance companies have to at least break even. They're for-profit companies. They've got to make a profit. So it makes sense from an insurance perspective why we're going to do this. My question to you is, how is this going to come back on the independent agent?
Remember, this is an industry that targets operating profit at 4 cents on the dollar. Remember that first and foremost. They have investment income. They're targeting 15% at best profit margins, but only 4% of that is coming from operating underwriting profit. That's profit excluding investment returns. So I want to point that out before I go into the independent agent side. There's just not an industry out there that I know of that is targeting such a thin margin and getting so much ridicule about being big bad corporate greed. This just isn't factual. It's this idea that they're easy to pick on. Let's just media hammer them, politicians hammer them, different lobbying groups, legal lobbies, etc. Yeah, we're easy to pick on, but factually, we should stand our ground. Factually, we target 4 cents on the dollar. We don't target 50% margins like the tech industry. Go look at Facebook and Alphabet, Meta, Alphabet, Apple, and look at their profit margins, and then come back and look at the insurance industry's profit margins. And so what I feel like we need to do, because this thing about affordability of roofs and this average person can't afford to replace their roof if they have a loss. Wait a minute. You could afford to buy the home and take out a mortgage, and somebody underwrote you and was willing to give you the mortgage. And 4 years later, you should, if they did their job, you did your job, you should have some equity in that. And guess what? They'll loan you some money to go make up the difference between your depreciating payout versus the cost of getting the new roof. Why is it the insurance industry's job to solve this problem when there's no personal responsibility here? Why is it the insurance industry's job to just not be able to collect premium and get rate for risk because the rates are too high and they're regulated because we're being forced to pay replacement cost on a depreciating item? Now, how this comes back to the independent agency is, unfortunately for us, we're stuck in the middle. The major property writers on the personal line side are going to still be your captives, your State Farms, your Farmers, your Allstates. You're going to get in down chain a little bit. You're going to start getting into maybe Travelers, Chubb, Liberty Mutual, Safeco. You're going to start getting into that area. So we're down the list, and this is the newsflash. Until one of those majors moves, the second and third major isn't going to move. And then until a couple of the majors move, some of the independent agency carriers aren't going to move. But when they do, they're going to all start following suit. Somebody's going to have to say, I can't afford to sustain this. I can't keep doing this. And they're going to have to start making the movement. Somebody's going to have to lead this path.
I want to answer the question that you asked rhetorically a few moments ago. And you said, why is it the insurance company's responsibility? And my answer to that is because we've always done it that way.
That's the problem. That's one of the problems. We've been doing this for so long. The industry should be the new definition of insanity. Instead of keep doing it the same way, expecting a different result, it should be the insurance industry's been doing that for decades. We've been paying replacement cost and writing insurance on replacement cost for depreciating assets for so long that we don't know what to do. I'll be straight up and outspoken about this. This is a Jerry Maguire moment for me. There's probably other people that feel this way too. It's one of those things that nobody wants to talk about that everybody knows. Nobody wants to say it out loud. I'll be Jerry Maguire if I need to. And it's one of those situations where I guess I'm reaching an age where I just see things differently and I'm seeing the reality that we're faced with. And look, we can't just keep raising rate. I'm on record several months ago, maybe even a year ago. The first thing that happens in a hardening market is rates are raised. The second thing is they start trying to figure out how to cut coverage because the problem is they can't keep doing what they're doing because they're losing, they're bleeding. So we can't just raise rate forever and ever and expect that the consumer is not going to break. We're going to eventually back the consumer into a corner. This is one of those coverage reductions that we are finally faced with that we have to just understand that it's there and it's not going away. Part of that problem is it's just the migratory nature of development. We are moving out of non-cat areas into cat-prone areas. Texas, in and of itself, is gaining hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people over the next several years, and has gained millions of people over the last several years. Florida's doing the same. We just have this thing going on. And the last thing we need is a government-backed property insurance market. We have that in flood. It's pretty much a disaster. If you ask the real flood experts, we don't need to go there in property. It would be one of the worst things for the insurance industry, and it would be one of the worst things for the American people. My name is Shane Tatum, and I'm running for president.
You're way too smart for that. Way too smart for that. So how do we, as independent agency owners, as producers within agencies, how do we explain this to our customers? What they're seeing from the media is that the CEOs are being compensated $24 million, $18.9 million, $15.4 million for these insurance companies, for the companies they're buying from. And you and I have talked about CEO compensation. And do I really want somebody running multi-billion dollar companies that, you know, will take $85,000 a year to do it? No. And so we understand why the media is making such a big deal. We understand why the CEOs and executive teams are getting paid what they're getting paid. But our consumers don't. And our consumers don't care about the idea of a 4% profit. They care about what they're paying every month out of their pocket. So how do we talk with our clients? How do we educate our clients, keeping in mind that this is a product they don't want? They're being forced to purchase. It's not like going to the TJ Maxx and getting a new cashmere sweater that they're really excited about that they got on clearance sale last month.
It's a lot of education. There's got to be a lot of empathy applied to it as well. Your tone is everything. For the most part, not in a tacky, combative way, we have to be willing to listen. And sometimes we have to be able to absorb some of those hard conversations and be able to turn that conversation around with good factual information. This is a problem for way more than the insurance industry. It's combating the sound bites, the clickbaits. It's the nature of where we are as a society that's going to force us into this spot where we're helping to educate the customer on why their home insurance premium is increasing or their commercial property insurance premium is increasing when they haven't had a claim, all right? It's not their fault that their neighbors all got new roofs from the roofer and they didn't. They may not pay for it as much, but they're going to pay for it because insurance is a spread of risk. More buyers equals lower pricing, shared risk. Why does the auto insurance market work so well in the United States? Because it's law. You got to carry auto insurance. So the more people that are in the buying pool, the more spread of risk you get, the better the ultimate result of the underwriting profit. We can gauge a lot of that. The property problem is not everybody has to buy a home. Not everyone has to purchase renter's insurance if you're a renter, because so many people don't. So the buying pool is a little more sporadic. And yes, it's mandated by our mortgage company or our bank. But here's the thing about property insurance that we can educate people with. It's most people's largest asset. How can the average person afford to replace their roof? How can the average person not afford to protect their largest asset? If that's the average person's largest asset, their home, how can they afford not to carry insurance coverage on it? The buying pool education approach, understanding, is it different that the CEO of Allstate is making anything different than the CEO of IBM? What skill set level do you want running that budget and handling taxpayer dollars and managing all of the different intricacies of the educational system? To Tanya's point, do you want the cheap guy or do you want the one that has the skill set? So all of that comes into play with the discussion with your customers of how it affects their paying their bill, but this CEO over here is making this huge pay package. It's really unrelated in a way, but I know people don't want to hear that. But we have to be willing to have that honest conversation with them when we get the chance.
This is a fantastic opportunity for you as an agency owner to educate and market your business. Lions clubs, Rotary clubs, they're always looking for speakers at events. This is your way of getting in the door, not as the person that's going to sell them insurance because they don't want that. But this is your way of getting in the door and saying, hey, this is going on in the world and I can educate your club members, our club members, on how to protect their greatest asset. I love the idea of using this topic as a way to get in front of people. I just think that it's something that people want to know about.
It really attaches to something I've become passionate about as a marketing tactic, which is community relations. And some of us, some of you are nervous about putting yourself out there as that expert. I didn't always have a podcast. We're better at it today than we were a couple of years ago. I didn't always have the ability to speak in front of large groups. That became a small group, practiced, failed, retry, try again, little bigger group, start small. If you have kids, toddlers are great. Make your toddlers listen to you. They always give you great feedback and they're always excited to give you a hug when it's over. There's ways to learn how to speak to people and educate yourself on how to be a better speaker. Video yourself speaking. Speak into a camera. This is something I did. Speak into your phone and listen to it. Those things will help you get more comfortable getting in front of those groups, those community groups. Your expertise is there, or it's happening. You're gaining that knowledge depending on your experience factor. I'm not really concerned that you're going to be an expert out there on your craft. What I know you're thinking in the back of your mind is, I can't speak in front of those people. And the honest answer is, even the most introverted of you, us, can do that.
And if there's a Toastmasters group anywhere near your area, join it. It's less than $50 a year. And after 3, 4, 6 months, you are going to be such a better speaker. Seriously. Do it.
You know what's interesting and little secret I'll let you in on? Even today, as much as I talk, speak, groups, small groups, podcast, whatever, live classes at iaforward.com, all the things that I do that center around speaking, do you know one of the things that still I get nervous about to this day, and I don't know if it's ever going to go away, is when you're in that meeting of new people and you have to go around the room and introduce yourself.
Oh, I hate that.
That right there, let me tell you, if you can do that well, you can speak to Rotary, Chamber, Lions Club, you can speak at it, you can do it. Because that right there to me is that thing. My voice never comes out right. I immediately become the middle school boy with the cracked voice. It's really crazy that I can't just get over that. That's something that is still a struggle for me after years and years of trying to become better at this. So don't let something like that, if you're like me, hold you back from trying to become the expert in your community.
And I find that torturous as well, just so you know. Absolutely 100%. I'm going to leave us today with this quote from Shannon Miller. There is always going to be a reason why you can't do something. Your job is to constantly look for reasons why you can achieve your dreams.
Attitude's a choice. Make a great one.
Bye, y'all.
Ready to get the ball rolling with your independent agency? Learn more at IntegraAgent.com. That's IntegraAgent.com. Thank you for joining us on IA Forward. Make sure you never miss a show by clicking the subscribe button now, or learn more at IAForward.com.